How do we know so much about the past? The large model in front of you depicts excavations and various laboratories. At the large open excavation in a new housing estate, workers use excavating machines and shovels to expose a fine layer. Archaeologists clean off the wall foundations and take measurements and photographs. A camera drone will document the excavation from the air. The finds are registered and packed in the large tent. On the left of the model in the hill in the foreground, you can peer into a cave. In the cave, a square meter grid has been laid out and calibrated. The archaeologists carefully excavate the find layers within this grid, make drawings, calibrate, find positions and, as they stand before the vertical excavation profile, discuss the site's stratification. The excavated cave sediment is removed from the cave using a wheelbarrow and then sifted through for small finds which may have been overlooked. Do you see the orange-colored bone which the archaeologists have uncovered? You can follow the bone's path through the laboratory models around the edge of the excavation model. How do the scientists unlock the bone's secrets? If you would like to learn more about the different research methods, simply open the drawers beneath the laboratory models. In the first laboratory, bone finds are laid out on a table, including our orange-colored bone. The anthropologist determines whether it is a human bone or not. He compares it with the bones in the drawers. Was the person a woman or a man? How old was the person? How tall were they? A microscope is used to look more closely. Are there recognizable signs of injury or traces of disease? The clean room on the left in the paleogenetics laboratory can only be entered by people wearing sterile protective clothing. This is so that the bone samples don't become contaminated, which would result in distorted data. For this reason, in the middle is an airlock where people can change their clothes. Here we can see how the bone is documented before a sample is taken. A small piece is then sawn from the bone and DNA fragments are extracted from it. These fragments are cleaned, duplicated, and reconstructed. To the right, in the office, the data is evaluated. The paleogenetics compare the DNA sequences to others to determine, for example, the species or to clarify the relationships between individuals and species. By studying the DNA fragments, they can say something about the color of the hair, skin, and eyes. They look for genetic traces of pathogens, and they can even determine the color of earwax from the ancient genes. In the next laboratory, radiocarbon dating is used to ascertain the age of the bone. That is, how many years ago the person died. The bone is being examined under a microscope. The dating itself is carried out in a mass spectrometer. This device measures the bone's C14 content. Every organism accumulates the carbon isotope C14 during its life. After death, the C14 decays. The amount of C14 remaining reveals a bone's age. Further samples will be taken in the isotope analysis laboratory. The bone now lies on the desk and the sample's isotope content is going to be analyzed in the mass spectrometer. More of the bone's secrets can be revealed this way. Where did the person grow up? In which region did they live? What did they eat? In the 3D laboratory, an archaeologist documents individual finds, including our orange bone. She uses a surface scanner to measure the bone and uses this data to generate a 3D model. The 3D model allows her to fill in holes in an object or to compensate for distortion caused by the long years spent buried in the earth. Finally, the data and the model are made available online. Scientists from around the world can now work with the model and compare it with other objects.